Colossians 3. Everybody got it?
Paul writing to the church at Colossae. You know, as he writes these letters to churches, because that's what these letters in the New Testament are, they're letters that Paul wrote to churches. So we have to understand that the audience of these letters are saved, baptized, covenanted members. You know, they are part of a body of Christ. And we keep that in mind because the things that he writes to Christians would be different than things he would write to non-Christians. And now, I don't know about you, but with all that's going on in the world, sometimes it's hard it's not hard to have hope. I have hope. It's not hard to have faith. I have faith. But sometimes what's hard to feel, and I know people don't like the feel of Christianity, is the joy. You ever just feel wore out and tired? Just beat down? Like, where's my joy? Where's my happiness? And, you know, we talk about revival. Revival is really setting ablaze our faith again. It is giving that joy back, getting that joy back and that kick in our step and that song in our heart. And we need that. Faith is yes, it's believing in God. It's believing in God's word. It's believing in heaven and eternity and Christ, our Savior. It is all about that. But Christians ought to have joy. Christians ought to have happiness. We ought to be able to look at somebody and tell they're saved. We ought to be able to look at someone and know that they're going to heaven. Now, it's not that easy, is it? Sometimes Christians look the most unhappy. And maybe it's because we're in this conflict with the world and we see what's going on in the world and we know that heaven is waiting and we wonder why we're still here. But, you know, we have to show that joy that comes from our hope, that comes from our faith. And so every once in a while, we need to get some of that joy poured back in. You ever need joy poured back in? We do. We need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. And so Paul, as he writes to the church at Colossae, in verse number 12 said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." So these are things that he's saying about us. We are the elect of God. We are holy, which means we are for God, we are for God's purpose, and beloved, and we are beloved by God, right? He loves us. He loved us before we loved him. The Bible says that. He first loved us. Put on, he says, bowels of mercies. One of the things that's going to help us have joy is when we can forgive other people. Because I'll tell you something that will block you from having joy is unforgiveness. When you hold a grudge, how many of you can hold a grudge? All right, I see some honesty in here, right? We can hold a grudge, can't we? We can be mad. We can be real mad. And the worst part of it is wanting to get even and taking joy in other people's failures and other people's troubles. And we don't want to do that. And so he says we need to put on bowels of mercy. We need to have mercy. You know what God said to Jonah? He talking about the people of Nineveh, he said, "They're dumber than cows, and you're mad at them. They're dumber than animals, and you're mad at them." And I've told you the story of the parable not long ago about the lion and the hyena, it was a tiger and a hyena, and they were arguing about the hyena said the grass was blue, and the tiger said, "No, the grass is green." Y'all remember me saying that? And they argued about the grass, and they went to the lion because the lion's the king of the jungle, and the lion and says, "What's going on?" The tiger said, "I keep telling him the grass is green, and he keeps saying the grass is blue, and we've been arguing about it for days." And the lion said, "Okay, hyena, you can go. I'm going to punish the tiger." And the tiger said, "Why am I getting punished?" He said, "For arguing with a hyena. You know the grass is green. Why do you waste your time arguing with that hyena?" And that's the trouble that we get into when we argue about stuff we already know doesn't matter. If you know the truth, you know the truth. Why argue with people who want to debate the truth? And it's one thing if we want to talk to somebody who could teach us. And I'm all about learning and growing. But when you're just arguing to be arguing, stop it. It just makes you miserable. And so he says, put on the bowels of mercy. Number two, he said kindness. Number three, humbleness. And that'll change our attitude when we can just humble ourselves. Pride is one of the biggest contributors to grief. Pride, ego. It just causes so much grief. And then he says meekness and long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another. That means I put up with your junk, you put up with mine, right? And forgiving one another. That means I forgive you for being dumb and you forgive me for being dumb, right? Right? Forgiveness. If any man quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So what did Jesus forgive me of? Everything. So what am I supposed to forgive you of? Everything. Wow, that's a tall order, isn't it? But that's the order. The order is, he forgave you for everything, you forgive them for everything. Now, remember what we saw in Romans the other day? It said, but you could avoid them, right? You forgive them, but you could still avoid them. And that's okay. It's good that we know. We don't have to buddy up with people that we can't get along with. Are there some people in this world you cannot get along with? I know some people I cannot get along with. Crazy, but that's the case. And so what I do is I don't aggravate myself by getting around them. All right, and he says, and forbearing one another, verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, be giving, be loving, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Boy, isn't it great when we can thank God for the things we have. What if today all we had left is what we thank God for yesterday? What would we have left? What if the only people that showed up to church on Sunday morning are the ones we prayed for Sunday morning before church? How about that? Yeah. What if the only people that called us were the ones that we prayed for on a daily basis? Would we be tied up all day or would nobody call? Something to think about, isn't it? Better be talking to God. Be thankful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be so thankful. I know that the price of beef is up. The price of bacon's up. The price of milk, the price of gas. Everything's expensive. I know. But thank God we still live in this great country. Amen. Thank God we're not in Ukraine right now, right? Or in Russia and turmoil against ourselves the way they are. I know there's turmoil here. I know there's disagreement in our country. But it's still the best country in the world. Not just that, we live in Florida. Isn't that great? Amen. I told somebody today they ought to change the name of this place to Polynesia. All this pollen everywhere. My goodness, it's killing me. But we ought to be thankful. Be thankful for our families. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? We got families. We got people we love. We've got friends. Got a great church. People we love we could call, turn to, and they would help us. They would either help us or find somebody that would help us. That's the kind of church we've got, and it's wonderful. We ought to be thankful for we have God's Word. You imagine people around the world today don't have their own copy of the Bible. Listen, anybody here that wants a copy of the Bible, you let me know, I'll get you one. I'll get you a good one. You need to read the Bible, and it'll change your life if you'll read it, if you'll apply it to your life. I talk to people, they say, I read my Bible, it's changing the way I think. Yes, that's what it does. We ought to be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, how can we do that if we don't read it? In all wisdom. That means, what is wisdom? What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? I know you know the answer to this. Knowledge is... knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is information, right? What is wisdom? Okay, application of that information. It's where the dog sees a porcupine eating his food, and that's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing he better let that porcupine finish before he gets in there, right? So that's the difference, just knowing when. We know a lot of stuff, but do we know how to use that stuff? Do we know how to use that information? Do we know when to speak and when to remain silent? You know, those are important things. So he says, let the Word of Christ, the Bible, the Word of God, dwell in you. That's by reading it. That's by studying it. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So we're supposed to, he's talking to a church. He says, y'all teach each other. Admonish one another. That means if I see that you need help, I help you. If you need instruction, I instruct you. And if you need encouragement, I encourage you. I was watching a preacher today, listening to him talk about a time in his life where it seemed like the whole world turned against him. And I kept waiting for the punchline to be, but one of my brothers reached out and encouraged me. And you know, that wasn't part of it. There was no encouragement. He was there by himself. He was on his own because everybody else backed up to see what would happen before they helped. That's not the way church should be. A church ought to stand in, help each other. And so he says, admonishing one another, teaching one another. Look how he says, in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me go back to this survey. I don't know if it's even true anymore, but it was relevant at the time, and I'll bet it still is. The reason that so many young people desire the different music than the old hymns that the church sings, that we still sing, the reason they desire that new music is not because of the words of the old hymns. It's not because of the rhythm of the old hymns. It's because we sing it like there's a threat of death if we don't. Well, I'll sing it, but I ain't going to be happy about it. Right? Is that how we sing it? Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there, right? That ought to be good news. We ought to love that. Blessed assurance. All of those songs, that ought to be from our heart. What did he say? Sing it with grace in your hearts. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, if you will, turn over to the Psalms. Psalm 84. We'll start way toward the back. But I picked out some psalms because, you know what I noticed is we don't talk about the psalms in here much, do we? When do we talk about psalms? Well, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We did that at the funeral. But psalms are so full of encouragement. There's so much in here that would build us up and would bless us if we would read it. So Psalm 84 and verse 10, and this used to be, you know who I remember reading it or saying this is Brother Terry. You say this all the time. Those of you who remember him. Psalm 84, verse 10. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Y'all remember him using that verse? I used to hear him say that, and when I read that verse, I think of Brother Terry. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Isn't that something? Whatever the job is, remember the prodigal son? He was far away from home, and he said, you know what, I'll just go back and serve my daddy. I'll get a job doing whatever, sweeping floors or whatever, but at least I'll be home. And that's what he's saying here. This is our Father's house. That's why we love to be here. Now, I know that God goes with me wherever I go. I know he's there. I know his presence. I know his voice. And so I know that he's with me. But when I come here, it's different, isn't it? When I come here, it's like the whole family's together with the Father. And that's why it's so special. In Psalm 86 and verse number 5. 86 verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. Grace, grace, grace. Isn't it good to be forgiven? Isn't it good to know that we're not going to stand in judgment of our sin, that we're not going to hell for our sin, but that we're going to heaven because of God's grace? That we don't have to live under the shadow of regret, and we don't have to live in the past. We don't have to worry about what we did before because it's gone, gone, gone. God forgave it. Verse number 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. That's prayer. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Verse 10, for thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Now to Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Another psalmist somewhere says we're basically all going to die. We can't cheat the grave. Unless the Lord comes back, takes us in rapture, we're all going to see that day come. And so we need to number our days. We need to make the days count instead of counting the days. Make the days count. I hope you do. I hope you're living to the extent that God would have you to and the joy that God would have you to. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And it's so important to get saved early. I don't know why people wait. And they say, well, I'm just going to get saved just before I die. Why? You're going to rob yourself of the opportunity to walk with God here. Man, we all know we're going to walk with God over there, but I want to walk with God over here and enjoy God's presence in my life now. Psalm 91 and verse 1, y'all know I love this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That idea of dwelling is that we plant ourselves there. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now we, if you're under somebody's shadow, you're close, aren't you? When you're in the shadow, you're close. That's where I want to be. But in order to do that, he says we've got to plant ourselves close to God. We've got to decide we want to be close to God. It's not an accident. We've got to decide we want to be close to God. 92 and verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works? Thy thoughts are very deep. Verse 10, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That renewal, that visit of God, that joy when you first got saved and you realized your sins were washed away and you understood that God sent his divine presence as the Holy Ghost to dwell inside of you. And you prayed and you read your Bible and you went to church and you maybe hummed or whistled or sang. And man, just you lived in the joy of salvation. That's that new, that fresh oil. 94 verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. You ever been there? I think of Nehemiah. They came to Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer. And he said, how's it going in Jerusalem? They said, it's all burned to the ground. It's torn down. Nehemiah says, and I sat astonied for days. He was just crushed. But then he got that renewed spirit and he went back to work and he went back to doing the normal things and he ended up being Tirshatha, the governor, the fear that led their rebuilding. But he was stunned in the beginning. 95 and verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. 96 and verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. 103 in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. How far is that? Forever. Nobody can bring up our sin. He has forgiven our sin. He is cast out. It's never coming back. From the east to the west. 107 in verse 1. Do y'all read the Psalms? I hope you do. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey. You know, these are things that we hear people say, but do you know where it came from? The Psalms is where it came from. These phrases, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look at what it says in verse 1, his mercy endureth forever, forever. He's not going to bring it up later. It endures forever. 116 verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Take note of that, men. Right? You want your wife to love you more? Listen to her. That's it. He said, I love the Lord because he heard me. He listened to my prayer. He heard my voice and he knows my needs. Supplications. That's the, you know, that's all the stuff. Supply. That's what that is. 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endureth forever. Let them that now fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. In verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Or as the New Testament says, the chief cornerstone. And you understand the cornerstone, that's where you set that first one. Everything else goes off that. You ever been in a building trying to remodel it? Whoever built it the first time must have had a crooked level, a crooked plumb. If something didn't work out, and then you go back and try to fix it all up, and it's not the same. But that chief cornerstone, see, our lives are built on Christ, and he being the chief cornerstone, we know that it is true. And that's what we're looking for. True up and true across. We know that he is true. Verse number 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, we remember those verses. This is where they come from. 119 and verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Move on over to 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How did Jesus put that in the New Testament? You'll reap what you sow. You see it all, but if you don't sow it, you won't reap it. And that's biblical. 139, we're almost finished. Just a few more. See, if you're turning pages, you can't fall asleep, can you? 139. Verse 13. 139, verse 13 says this, thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, how about that? God made us. You say, well, I don't like my hair. I don't like my freckles, or I don't like my height, or for some of us, it's not height, it's shortness. But, you know, I don't like this or that, but I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Look, this, you want to argue about abortion or right to life, this is all you need right here. It says, God knew me then in the very beginning, yet being unperfect. In thy book, look, all my members were written. In other words, it was already concluded by God, my existence, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Verse number 23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That sounds like a great place to stop, but we're not there yet. 144, verse 12. I love this verse, these verses here. Verse 12. 144, verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished at the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and tens thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Hallelujah. And then verse 50, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Isn't that true? I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. The last verse of the psalm says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Paul told the church at Colossae, encourage yourselves, admonish yourselves, one another with psalms and spiritual songs. If you don't read the psalms, you should. Get in there and read it. Look, I was thinking about it. You know, there's a lot of bones in the Psalms. We've read a lot of meat tonight, haven't we? We got all the meat, but the bones are the structure there. They got to be there too. And there's a lot of the buildup in there. But the joy that comes from just praising and worshiping and thanking God, prayer, it changes us. It changes us. Let's stand. God, we do love you. We see how that we should be changed by your word and filled with your word. And we surrender our hearts to you tonight and ask you to move in our lives to make us what you'd have us to be. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us and ask you to forgive our sins. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.